Okay, we're back.
Yay. We are back after a brief 1 week hiatus.
Yes.
Which we apologize for, but whatever.
We had to go to rehab. We have fans to not disappoint.
That's true. That's true. We had to get our shit together.
Mm-hmm. We had tabloid obligations to fulfill.
Yes.
We did promise Star at least 6 cover stories over the course of the year.
That's true.
We're sorely behind, so we had to check into rehab, do a couple upskirts, and,
yeah. I beat up Amy Winehouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. That's a little, you know, secret that I'm saving for later.
Oh, okay.
You know, to the listeners of the podcast.
Is there going to be a picture exclusive and, like, maybe hello or us?
I hope so. Nice. I mean, it was pretty, well, who am I kidding? Amy Winehouse is not a hard person to beat up.
No. She hadn't had her crack yet.
Right, yeah, she hadn't, like, doped herself up.
Yeah, because you stole her crack.
Right.
And smoked it and beat her up.
Because that's what you do in rehab.
That's how you do. That's right.
Anyway.
So, because we didn't record last week, we didn't get the chance to talk about Glenn Beck's amazingly hilarious pissy fit. On the air.
Glenn Beck. So, yeah. Glenn Beck, he had a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
Like, that's the closest thing I can think of to it. It's like, you know when you're out with, like, a toddler?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, they're about to have a meltdown, or like...
Kathy, get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Yeah.
You know, little...
Oh, better get him in the car, take him back home.
Yeah, it's like little Jenny had a meltdown because, you know, she hadn't had her nap or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, you know...
Glenn needed his nap.
Yeah.
Before he recorded.
I know. It was like he was. I mean, it's too bad there couldn't have been like video to accompany that. Like,
although that might be kind of like, too intense.
But I was like, maybe he like lay down on the floor and started kicking his legs.
I like that visual.
But I guess what happened is Glenn Beck, the right wing douchebag blowhard of Fox News and also the radio airwaves. I don't know what station he's on. Was recording his radio show, which is just basically like a Rush Limbaugh kind of, you know, I spout right wing hot air and act like a total nut job lunatic, and you call in and tell me how much you love me, or you call in and I berate you. So this woman called in and said, was talking about healthcare and basically said, you know, Obama's plan was good and that, you know, we need to step up and do a better job for all those Americans who are dying on the streets, you know, because they don't have health care.
Yeah.
And he started out really patronizing. Like, Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yep.
Like he sounded like I sound when I talk to my cats, when I'm like, good girl, you're such a good girl.
You're an asshole to your cats.
I'm nice.
You're all patronizing and shit to your cats?
Yeah,
what the hell's that all about?
That's true. But I mean, to be fair, their brains are the size of like pecans. So
speciesist.
Yeah, I know, I'm a dick. But so it progressed rapidly. Like really rapidly from like, you know, to like screaming out of control, get off my phone, get off my phone, you little pinhead.
What would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do to change this healthcare system for the better? After all, every time you people bring up costs, you don't care about the trillions of dollars to bail out the banks and all the credit card companies.
Kathy, get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! I don't care! You people don't care about the trillions! Get off my phone!
Like, I can't even...
I think it's because she brought Europe into it.
Right.
That's bound to set the neck veins a-throbbing in any conservative.
Evidently.
Don't talk to me about Europe!
Yeah, so Glenn Beck, like, I guess we'll have to play the clip.
A little bit of the clip. Definitely.
But, yeah, that was my favorite thing that happened in that last week.
Yeah.
I think, was Glenn Beck.
What struck me was just the total, I mean, aside from it being totally freaky and, like, no man should ever sound like that, no woman should ever sound like that, no human being above the age of 6 should sound like that, and even 6 is pushing it.
Yeah.
it was just so immensely, glaringly unprofessional to act like that.
Yeah.
And that's coming from me. Listen to the past 20 episodes, and you'll understand how scathing an indictment that is against Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
For me to say that something he's doing on his radio show is unprofessional. You got served,
well,
sir.
Well, it's true. I mean, I understand that he gets around living up to all kinds of, like, journalistic integrity standards and ethics standards on his TV show by classifying it as, like, basically a talk show. Like, essentially, right. his TV show is... You know, as far as any kind of overseeing body is concerned, his show is essentially like Geraldo or Dr. Yeah. Phil or something. Like, you know, he's just a guy on there giving his opinion.
And yeah.
So, you know, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. But, I mean, is his radio show not governed by the FCC? And, I mean, like, it seems like if they're not going to let you say shit on the air, then... They probably shouldn't let people, like, go into, like, screaming death metal rages and call their callers pinheads either.
Yeah.
Like, especially since it's not like he was trapped in a room with her. He could have just, like, click, hung up the phone.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's...
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the way he's behaving, you know, ironically brings up, like, you know, a parenting analogy, which is, you know, when your kid's, like, throwing a tantrum like that or, you know, like... telling you what they want, you know, all these parenting experts and, you know, like Super Nanny on TV and everything, you know, they always say, who's the parent? And to Glenn Beck, I would just say, who's the radio host? Yeah. Who's the one that can hang up? Who's the one who controls who gets to talk on your show?
Yeah.
If this woman makes you so upset, then hang up the phone. Don't make a screaming ass out of yourself. You know, not only... to lose the respect of the people who actually do listen to you, but to invite ridicule from people like us.
Yeah, well, and then it begs the question, like, okay, so, did he keep that on and, like, did that air and did he do that because he thinks that that's going to appeal? And is that going to appeal to his demographic? Like, is that what the right wing has become? I mean, because if so, we could basically just, like, I mean, how easy would it be just to, like, transition them slowly? Like, we can start them out with, like, we'll transition all the right wing crazies to, like, moderate or, like, left wing normalcy or sanity via, like, hardcore. We can, like, start them off with, like, we'll have the Glenn Beck and we'll have him, like, screaming and yelling. And then we'll, like, start them off kind of, you know, with something that they might like and that they're used to. We could, like, have them listen to Screwdriver. Like, old Screwdriver. So it's, like, you know, it's bad, but it's not quite, you
right.
know. And then you can, like, slowly transition them through the, like, all that, like, you know, hate breed and kill switch engage and all that, like, kind of bullshit that doesn't really mean anything, and slowly work them into, like, Gorilla Biscuits. And then like, Earth Crisis. And then at the end, on the other side of all of this, when we've, like, you know, slowly transitioned them, they will be, like, raving leftist animal rights, like, you know, liberators.
I think that's a great idea. What I think would really help the process go smoother is if they relaxed a lot first. And I think the best way to do that is, you know, Bill O'Reilly is really famous for, you know, his knowledge of red wine and his sensual loofah technique. So we could give them a nice hot bath, you know, pour them some hot wine, have Bill give them a little scrub with a loofah, and, you know, he can direct them to pleasure themselves as they see fit. Because, you know, that's what Bill likes to do.
Oh, Bill. God. Oh, dear. Well, yes. I guess those are kind of two separate things. Either they'll, like, take that extreme anger and gradually funnel it into something better. Though not that necessarily all those crazy straight-edge anarcho-eco people are necessarily all that much better, some of them, but I think on the whole, probably they are, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to talk shit about, like, anarchists or, like, you know, eco-activists or whatever. It's just, occasionally you come across some, like, enclaves of that, like, straight-edge scene or those scenes that are, like, really kind of scary.
Like, in Utah?
In Utah.
Have you heard about the insane straight edge gangs in Salt Lake City?
Oh,
they like burn down McDonald's and stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But here's the thing, like for years and years I've been hearing about these terrifying straight edge gangs in Salt Lake City, and like, you know, like this guy got beaten into a coma because they saw him eating a Kraft single or something like that, you know. And then I found out, I forget who told me, but someone was like, "Oh yeah, you know all those straight edge kids in Salt Lake City? Yeah, they all smoke like a pack a day."
Oh my god.
I was like, what?
Oh my god, that is so not straight edge.
I know.
I know straight edge people. And they don't smoke. Mel C. with me, and I'm sure has been, very disappointed in those straight edge gangs.
That's right.
In Utah.
But they did burn down a McDonald's.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
But on the subject of people who claim to be one thing while doing another, I've noticed a proliferation. I'm not talking about anything specific here, which you would know about, but just in general, and I do mean this honestly, in general, I've noticed this huge proliferation of people who claim they're vegan who eat fish.
Or milk.
Milk?
I came across the blog Lacto Vegan the other day. And I must say... What? Like, this,
Shall we issue a definitive statement once and for all?
Well, okay.
And then, you know, hopefully we can close the book on this matter, although I kind of doubt it.
But if anything, then I'm sure that I will just get mentioned in some of these people's blogs, and maybe you too this time, as being a, you know, fundamentalist opponent of gay marriage.
Yeah, we hate the gays.
Because of my vegan views.
We hate the gays.
Okay.
And actually, can I just interject really quick? I had an Only in San Francisco moment coming over here.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been here 10 minutes earlier, except I had a hard time turning right on the streets because the crosswalks were, like, clotted with beefy tan men in leather jock straps and assless chaps.
I love
And San I was Francisco. Like, San Francisco? And even though it's, like, foggy and really cold out, they're still, you know,
they're
committed to it. They're in it to win it. So, yeah, that was my daily San Francisco moment. Yes.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Throngs of leather-clad studs.
I saw a few of them when I was on my way to work today.
Nice.
There was one guy, like, walking really nonchalantly down the street, like, just like, yeah, I'm just, you know, heading to where I'm going. And he was, like, wearing all leather, and then I can't remember why I turned, like, I think I was looking for my headphones or something. I turned around and I happened to notice as he had walked by me that he was wearing assless chaps.
Nice.
Which I thought was pretty gutsy of him.
Getting back to what veganism really means.
Right, okay. Well, the thing is, I don't think that it's necessarily that these people don't know what vegan means. Because, like, the people that, you know, I had a virtual run-in, along with many other people, they were from the website virtuallyvegan.com. Mm-hmm. And I think they understood what vegan meant.
Mm-hmm.
That they understood that it meant that you don't eat dairy and that you don't eat eggs and that you don't eat meat.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you don't eat honey and whatever else. But for whatever reason, they seemed to think that it was sort of like... It was like... They seemed to think of the word vegan as like a piece of Lego. Like, that piece of Lego is... okay by itself, but it's a little hard to deal with and hard to commit to. So maybe making that piece of Lego a little bit prettier by snapping on another little thing, like, you know, the eating of fish piece of Lego. This is a dumb analogy, but but yeah, it's like they seem to think that veganism is this thing that you can just add, like it's a combo. Yeah, thank you. That is exactly what I was going for. Like, you know... It's dull and boring by itself.
I'm just trying to think of stupid puns with, like, Claire's Accessories and Forever 21 and H&M.
God. Oh, God.
I'm going to accessorize my veganism with this awesome ribeye steak pendant.
Yeah, it's like, the vegan is, like, just, like, this rock-bottom thing. It's like you buy the black pants.
Yeah,
the
totally.
The black pants are fine, but the black pants would be a lot more fun, and you'd be able to commit a lot more to wearing those black pants if you got to wear the, like, you know... blood diamond earrings with it. So, you know, instead of just having the boring black pants and having to deal with, you know, just the dull, boring, you know, Spartan, ascetic,
horrible life of sacrifice which we lead.
Yeah, you know, of the black pants. then, you know, you you get to add the blood diamond of fish or the blood diamond of milk or whatever. That's a slightly better analogy. Yours is...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I had a problem with, and I think that mm-hmm. you have a problem with, too, is that, like, veganism isn't really something that you can add onto. It's yeah. something that you can subtract from. Like, if yeah. you wanted to be, like, a raw vegan or something mm-hmm. like that, then that's cool. But it's a concept that just doesn't really logically work
yeah.
at all once you start adding onto it, because it's a concept that is, like, based on not doing certain things. So if you start adding on just like little pieces of the certain things that you're not supposed to be doing, it doesn't make sense. So if you're doing that, if you're saying things like I'm a lacto vegan or I'm virtually vegan, but you're not actually being vegan, then all that you're doing is co-opting this term that has yeah. like a huge amount of meaning for a lot of people,
yeah.
myself included and you included yeah. too. Because I don't know why. Is it because it
yeah,
sounds cool?
I don't know why.
Is it because
either.
It
I'm
sounds
trying to
edgy?
Figure that out.
Like, is it just like they don't want to? They, I mean, are they doing it to like save syllables? But it doesn't. It's not that hard to just be like, oh yeah, I, you know, don't eat that or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't eat red meat or I don't eat chicken.
Yeah.
Though I don't know. Maybe they do eat chicken at Virtually Vegan. I couldn't tell.
Well, judging by the flicker, they eat a lot of cheeseburgers, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
But, I was also thinking about, I forget the name of the author, but, there's a book out called The Vegan Bible, which apparently the recipes are vegan,
right.
but the introduction has
the,
a very
lengthy... The Vegan Cook's Bible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Vegan Cook's Bible.
Right.
The introduction has a lengthy, it extols the virtues of fish.
Right.
On over the course of many pages.
Right.
Which, you know, while thankfully it doesn't expand to the recipes, it's still a little out of place.
It's totally out of place.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing that I learned about the author, Pat Crocker, who is some relation to
Pat
Betty Crocker.
Pat Crocker, shit!
Sorry. Is that she's not vegan. I
right.
don't think she's even vegetarian.
Right.
And she wrote,
she
there's
just
a soundbite
of
her saying, you know, oh, being vegan, you know, is really hard and cooking without dairy, like, sucks and vegans are missing.
That's why
like...
I wrote this cookbook.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck, publisher?
Because nobody is out there publishing good cookbooks for vegans, you know, like nobody like Issa Moskowitz or
right.
Joanna Vaught or yeah. Sarah Kramer.
Or Nava Atlas or
yeah.
like... anybody yeah. or like anybody, there's 100 and there's tons
yeah.
more coming out. Like there's,
we're suffering in depravity and denial and extreme suffering.
Yes, we are definitely suffering.
What do you call it? A psyllus or whatever.
Oh,
you know, I'm wearing one of those self-flagellation
right.
devices.
Right. Yeah.
They're handcrafted by nuns in Italy.
Really?
Yes.
That's a nice way for nuns to spend their time.
It is.
But yeah, this woman, she's not vegan. She doesn't seem to particularly like cooking vegan, and she seems to also kind of think that vegans are really deficient in some way, or like she doesn't seem to like vegans that much. So like, what the fuck, publisher?
Yeah.
Looks at this person is like, okay,
sold.
We want you to write
yeah.
a vegan cookbook, and like not just a vegan cookbook, but like this definitive vegan cookbook. However, that book and its like lameness.
Mm-hmm.
Totally made me appreciate the Veganomicon even
yeah.
more. If only for, like, they choose, you know, to go with, like, the Bible imagery,
mm-hmm.
and Issa and Terry chose to go with Evil Dead
yeah.
imagery, and I think that's so much cooler.
Yeah.
So.
That says a lot.
So, death to false vegans.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, but not really. Like, okay.
Well, let's explain this to any false vegans who might be listening to the show. We, Jordan and I, love you very much.
It's
and
true.
We love you as a person, and we're not mad at you. We just wish you would stop using the word vegan to describe yourself if you eat fish, honey, milk, eggs, cheese, butter, cow, chicken, fish, etc.
Anything like that, yes.
Even if you raise it yourself, and even if it tells you itself through its spirit channels that it wants to be eaten.
Right.
So if...
We're looking at you, Derek Jensen.
Yeah.
Not that you call yourself vegan.
Or, you know, not that you listen to our podcast.
Right. I like to address Derek Jensen, you know.
Yeah.
Like that, but...
Totally. You know, it's okay to not be vegan. Obviously, right. We would love it if everyone were vegan. But we would much prefer that you're not vegan and don't call yourself vegan than being not vegan and calling yourself vegan.
Right.
Because, let me explain something. I remember a time in my life, I mean, luckily we're in San Francisco, so this doesn't happen so much around here, but I certainly remember a time in my life when, you know, nobody understood what vegan meant, and they would feed you something, or try to feed you something with fish in it, or just a little bit of butter, or just some chicken stock in it, because other people calling themselves vegans or vegetarians would eat that stuff. So that's why it's really important to not call yourself vegan when you're not, because the people who are vegan get fed something that isn't vegan because other people think vegans eat that kind of stuff.
Right. And it's...
See? It's totally clear.
It's also, like, it's a co-opting thing, you know? Yeah. Like, if I were, say, you know, a Native American person, I'd be really pissed off if, you know, people who didn't share my culture or my background or, like, my, you know, kind of... commitment to my culture or background, assuming that I was committed to my culture and background, started coming in and, you know, putting themselves out there as being, you know, some kind of, like, Native American spiritual leader or expert or even a practitioner, when really all that they were doing was, like, buying a dream catcher and putting it in their window. And that's kind of what it's like when people call themselves, you know, lacto-vegan or... virtually vegan or ovo vegan or whatever. It's almost you're taking vegan. Something that is important and that, like, you know, is awesome, and I'm glad that I did, but, like, take some doing and some commitment, and you're just, like, pasting it onto your own, forgive me, but wishy-washy lifestyle because you think it sounds cool or something. And, you know, I think that I don't think that we need to get all that worked up about this, because, you know, really, it doesn't matter. And the argument that people always give is like, well, how does my calling myself vegan and eating fish diminish your veganism? And it's like, it doesn't personally, except that, like...
we get served stuff with that shit in it. Because people think vegans eat that after they meet people like you.
That's true. I mean, there's that. But, I mean, it doesn't, like, diminish my conviction or my, like... or my, you know, feeling that veganism is awesome or whatever. But... still, why do you have to do it? Like, I don't know. I guess, it doesn't have to be a big, huge deal. And I'm trying to take my own advice. I wrote a big, long blog post about dealing with the not, the nearly vegan or the not so nearly vegan. And I think I advised that, you know, we should try and be nice and not be total assholes. but, but
see how well that turned out for you.
Yeah. Well, I wrote it after, you know, I got called a basically a, you know, Nazi eugenicizer foe of gay marriage, but
that's a little melodramatic. I mean, God.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're talking about, I mean, gay marriage, I mean, I don't even know why I'm justifying this argument by debating it, but, you know, it's like gay marriage talks about the majority, you know, excluding a minority from what is considered the norm, just because they're assholes. But what we're talking about is the extreme minority trying to, you know, make their, how can I say this?
Trying to preserve their, you know...
yeah, trying uniqueness. To preserve the principles.
Or of, their principles, yeah.
Of what they follow.
I mean...
And the majority kind of trying to infiltrate that and not normalize it by, you know, observing actual veganism, but by saying, oh, veganism means you can eat salmon, and veganism means you can have an occasional butter toffee, and, you know.
Yeah. The other thing, I mean, again, not to dignify this argument because it's ludicrous, but veganism is a choice, and sexual orientation is not a choice. So I think that if you're going to be comparing the two, then it's probably the person who's making the comparison that has the bigger problem with gay marriage, because they evidently seem to think that sexual orientation is some kind of choice, and I think that's fucked up. So, if any of you virtually vegans or lacto-vegans or whatever are listening, all sarcasm and bullshit aside, we don't hate you, and, we do, you know, think that it's a good thing that you're doing by reducing your animal product consumption.
Definitely.
And thinking about what you're eating, I think that that's a big deal. But just don't call yourself vegan, please, 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 if for no other reason, then it just makes my poor old heart hurt. So just don't. Just cut it out. And you are all creative, brilliant people and photographers, so I think that you can probably come up with a better, snappier term anyways that doesn't offend the shit out of me. And
oh, you know what?
What?
There is a term. It's called pescatarian.
That's true.
Wow.
That's true. But you know, you could even come up with like a cutesy little name. You know, if you want to be really original, you could totally do that. Can I give a vegan shout out?
Yeah.
For a minute here. This is to a very special vegan in my life. It's to my husband who doesn't listen, but if you are listening and you know who he is having his 10-year vegan anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
He will have been vegan for 10 years.
Nice.
And that's an awesome achievement. So,
great job.
Good work, Mike.
Is that this week's vegan cookie award?
Yeah, let's give a vegan cookie award. He's going to get a literal vegan cookie, but...
Whoa.
Oh, not that way. we're married. But, yes, he'll get the vegan cookie award.
Awesome.
He's been vegan for 10 years. And
did he eat any fish during the course of that 10 years?
No.
Wow.
I know.
That's impressive.
I know, really impressive. or at least if he did, it was certainly not willingly. I can't say that he didn't take a bite of something and then be like, ah! Because that's the noise he makes when he accidentally bites into something and there's fish.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the Vegan Cookie Award, we have the Mark Reed Douchebag Award.
Oh.
I think we mentioned the recipient earlier.
Yes, though I can't quite remember who it is. Oh, Derek Jensen.
Yes.
God, do we have time to get into Derek Jensen right now? We kind of have to jet off. Because Derek Jensen's a big topic.
Yeah. Maybe we should save Derek Jensen for episode 42.
Let's see. Yeah, we went off on the vegan wannabes pretty hard. So why don't we cut it off here?
Okay.
It's going to be an exciting two-part episode.
It is.
The next part is going to be a panel discussion on The Room.
Yes. Jordan got to see The Room last night.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting.
My retinas will never be the same. So join us now for our exciting second part of our show.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to have a panel discussion on The Room. And then later we're going to have a panel discussion on the Daisy of Love finale.
Sounds good.
Is that correct?
So who are our panelists?
Yes.
Oh, hey. It's Melissa again. I'm back.
Jennifer. Nate.
Silent Nate.
I'm Nate.
You'll just feel his aura.
So we all went and saw The Room last night at midnight.
Yes.
And some of us, for extra class, smuggled in booze.
Yeah.
Isn't that almost required at the Red Vic, though?
That was the first time I'd ever been to the Red Vic.
I've only seen The Room at the Red Vic, sadly. And I've lived in San Francisco for many years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, The Creature from the Black Lagoon is on soon, in 3D, so...
Okay.
You know, maybe we can make another pilgrimage, but... Okay, who wants to lead the discussion?
I want to hear Jordan's thoughts first, because it was her first time seeing The Room.
Well...
Was it everything that I made it out to be?
Yeah. Nothing could have prepared me for Tommy Wiseau's ass.
No.
Or those sex scenes. Like, you know, I kind of, like, I knew that they were going to be long, and I knew that I was going to see his ass, and that they were going to be gross, but they were just so, like, they were terrible, but they were also just, like... They were so, like, nakedly just immature and, like,
yes.
You know, it's like, welcome to the movie. Here we are. We're in the apartment. Look at how perfect his life is. He's fucking his girlfriend. Like, hooray!
Missionary.
Yeah. And then...
Missionary. His stomach is...
I know, right?
Yeah. Screwing her belly button.
Whatever that's called.
That's a different. Little kinky.
Well, Mike saw that and he's like, he leaned over and he's like, is he titty fucking her? And I was like, what?
said. I was like, I don't think that's what's supposed to be going on. It was just kind of like, it was like if a 14-year-old set out to make a porn movie or something. Like, the emotional depth was about there, and then, like, the proficiency level was about there.
It's also awesome that two of the sex scenes have the exact same footage.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't enough the first time you had to see his ass.
Yeah, totally.
In the exact same position.
And, like, the noises. So the noises were terrible.
Oh,
and
the noises they dub over it?
Yeah. And, like, how you could see the individual, like, muscles in his ass, like, kind of contracting.
He worked for a long time to look like that. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't... That shot of him, after the sex scene, like, walking into the other room, that he had been, like... working up to that moment for probably years.
I think he probably had that shot in mind and then just created the rest of the movie
around that shot.
That's highly probable.
The shot in question is the ass shot.
Walking out of the room after.
Right.
I'm sure if you can get a copy of the DVD, which eventually I will accomplish, I'm sure you can pause it and catch a little bit of peen in there as well.
Yeah, I think that was pretty
good. There was a glimpse.
I think it was tape.
Oh, tape?
No.
Oh, really?
Says it was tape.
Wow. Tape. You just blew all of our minds.
But who knew you would be watching so closely?
You know, I have to say, it reminds me of the Patrick Swayze scene in Dirty Dancing when he gets out of the bed and you can see his ass briefly. And when I was young, that was like epic to us. We were like, oh my god, you saw his butt! And we would seriously rewind that and watch it over and over at sleepovers. I don't know why.
The VHS tape is like worn down
in that section. Yeah,
whoever owns that.
You heard it here first, folks. The Urban Housewife is a pervert from a young age.
Okay. I won't deny that.
And I'll admit that I've never seen that movie.
Really? I don't know if I've ever seen it or not. I kind of think I have, but I don't remember.
Blasphemous.
Yeah.
Seen it?
No. My childhood movies were all, like, Batteries Not Included and Short Circuit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah. I liked, I think it was Melissa that was saying, like, on the roof scenes, like, where the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, trying to kind of watch and put together where they could possibly be. And I think the answer would be, like, about 50 feet off the end of one of the piers in the Embarcadero. That's where Tommy Wiseau's apartment is.
He lives on a houseboat, actually. A house apartment. Yes.
Well, it's
a
boat weird apartment. Some of the stuff on the green screen or whatever makes sense, but the stuff that's the closest to his roof...
Oh, yeah. It's like abandoned warehouses.
Yeah, you're like, what is that? Like, at one point, I think we were like, where does he live? And you're like, Japan, apparently.
There was something in the background that looked really Japanese, and I was like, what the fuck?
It was like that black roof that's, like, right next door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just...
And then did you guys notice that at one point his two friends leave the house, like leave the apartment, and then the very next scene, they're both up on the roof.
Yeah,
really?
yeah.
Apartment.
It was the
psychologist or the psychiatrist or whatever. Peter.
Right.
And
but everybody in the party scene, everyone left the apartment to go up on the roof. So maybe the...
No, but that was before. This was before the...
Before the party, I think.
Yeah. During the party,
are you confused about them saying they were going to leave and then going on the roof?
Yeah.
Or, oh, okay. I thought you were confused about how they actually got to the roof. And I'm like, they just go outside.
About the apartment? Because they enter from, like, two different directions. There's, like, two different entryways. There's one right by the stairs, and then there's one on the other side over from the spoons.
I think they just made it look really confusing.
Yeah,
I guess the one entrance, but they shot it from so many angles that you're like... Where the hell in the room am I?
Yeah.
It is really strange, though, to say you're leaving. Like, oh, I'll see you later, and then go onto the roof of their house instead of leaving.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do tonight when I leave your place.
Oh, great.
Like, all right, see ya. And then tomorrow morning, you'll find me on your roof.
I guess we could go up there. Like, we'd be like, hey, bye, see you later, and then just go up to her roof. I guess we could do that.
That's true. Yeah. It's possible.
So it's not that, you know, but I found
it's a little weird.
Odd.
It's just
But then
not
again,
done.
People fuck at their house when they're not home.
That's true, and they're very okay with it.
Oh, like, so guys, Denny, retarded or not?
Oh.
guys, or just throw me the ball.
45 years old.
I like to watch you guys having sex. Yeah. Do you mind?
I know.
You look really pretty. Can I kiss you?
No. I like that he's in love with Lisa.
Right.
But then Tommy's like, what about, what was his girlfriend, like Elizabeth or something?
Yeah.
And he's like, after I'm done with school, I want to marry her and have children with her.
But like, right.
Seriously, 30 seconds earlier, he's like, I want to kiss Lisa. I'm in love with her.
Yeah. What was his response? Like, that's the idea.
That is, if you don't, you know, make a horrible mockery of your entire life and have to kill yourself first.
I would kind of like to go through the room and just, like, replace all of Denny's lines with, you know, somebody else's voice saying stuff. Like, I really love her. I'd like to marry her and then kill her and eat her corpse. That's the idea!
Totally. I don't know. That there is so much to comment on. Like, I feel like I have to watch it again now because...
Oh, you will. Don't
there worry. Was, yeah. There was just... Yeah, there was so much stuff. Like, in the party, how all of a sudden there's, like, five new characters that, like, we're supposed to know who they are and, like, we're supposed to believe that they have this long-standing friendship. With
especially since one of the guys at the party is, like, totally epic and, like, rounds everything up. And you're like, why have we not seen you previously?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and yet
and
you're...
And what happened to the other guy? What was it, Quig? Yeah,
psychologist.
Peter? The psychologist, Peter.
Peter,
well,
yeah.
He did say, I'm out of here. I mean, so.
But he didn't come to the party?
I believe so. No, they
maybe
throw the ball against the ground and goes, I'm out of here. Yeah, he died.
You don't fuck
maybe
with
he
a man's
died.
Tuxedo.
Yeah.
Maybe he died at the hospital on Guerrero.
Right.
He had a horrible football accident, and he died in his tuxedo.
And this was something I didn't get, and maybe it was like the 40 ounces that we snuck in last night, but at the party...
That was probably the movie.
At the party... So, you know, the whole affair comes out at the party, and then, you know, there's the fight, and then all of a sudden, the two that are cheating together are dancing, and like,
yes,
like, come on, we're just having fun, let's just have fun, you know,
like, blatantly right in front of Tommy, they're like dancing and doing their thing.
How is not, like, everybody not gone by that, like, ooh, awkward, we're looking, but all of a sudden there's, like, slow dancing, and everybody's slow
dancing. Everybody in that movie obviously had, like, a really high threshold for, like, uncomfortable situations. Yeah. Walking into your apartment and finding your friends having sex on your couch.
There was, you know, U.S. military involved. And,
whoa.
What?
It was in New Jersey, but yeah, it was almost an identical situation. The person cheating on somebody else, and there was a confrontation, and they broke it up, and then they started dirty dancing. They had, like, some heavy metal thing right in the middle.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me about that.
Well, nothing breaks up the tense atmosphere after a fight like some grinding.
Yeah.
Right?
Then the blowout fight, you know, through the front door onto the wall. And then,
oh, cool.
You know, beer being spilled.
And everybody started breaking.
Yes, it does happen.
I thought it was
the most realistic part of the whole film.
Well, totally. Clearly.
I lived it.
I thought it was interesting how we came up with that hypothesis, because, you know, it's a big mystery about where Tommy Wiseau is actually from.
Oh, God.
And he claims to be from New Orleans. But there's, you know, the movie poster, he looks like he's had a stroke. So I think there's the possibility that maybe he really is from New Orleans, and he talks with that crazy, funny accent and that strange cadence because he had a stroke.
I mean, don't forget he spent some time in France.
Oh, sorry.
I think
he spent
some time in rehab.
He had a stroke in France.
Tommy Wiseau gave me the very strong impression of being somebody who, like, really liked the booze and drugs for a really long time, and then, like, cleaned up and got, like, really scary. Like, somebody for whom, like, sobriety did not work. He met a bunch of LA types in rehab, and they convinced him that he could do whatever he wanted to do, or some shit like that.
Yeah, he looked really rough. Like, he didn't look healthy, you know? Like, he was buff, but he just looked like a corpse, like a reanimated corpse or something.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
Do we know how old he is?
He's not that old. I think I remember seeing
well, he says
something,
he's not that
but...
old.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, he's a mystery man, you know?
True.
He's a man of mystery.
Just like Austin Powers.
So, is it just me who thinks his co-star is like fully some chick who did like porn from the valley that he was like, yeah, I think I'd like to bang her.
Yeah.
And then he cast her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was.
I think all the female characters in that movie are ex-porn stars, including her mother.
Oh, damn. Nice. Even
hey, there's really an audience. There's an audience for that kind of shit. Come on.
The girl who plays Michelle, who's, you know, goofy face guy on the couch, the girlfriend. She seems like this poor, like,
yeah, high school drama nerd.
Yeah, who just wants to
break.
Totally. Who just wants to be, or like, I have to say, like, in doing makeup for all those years when I would work with stuff that had to have like real people on it, but they were just like actors. It was totally people like that who like make a living being like extras and having like bit parts or doing like small commercials and things like that. So like they make a living doing a bunch of tiny little like indie films and like being extras in major motion pictures and things like that. She totally reminds me of like all those people that I used to put makeup on.
See, like, I would feel bad because it's like, there are totally people who do that, but it seems like some people, a lot better luck, and they end up doing, like, you know, trauma films and, like, all this, like, crazy, weird, fun stuff, where if, like, even if the movie is not what you wanted to be in, at least, like, you had fun and probably got really drunk along the way.
So, one of the extras in, I just remembered this, and I meant to tell you guys last night. One of the extras in the Double Rainbow Cafe scene, you know, where all the food's free.
Yeah.
The guy who's, like, sitting directly behind, I don't even know, what's his best friend's name? Mark?
Matt? Kenny Loggins?
Steve. I don't know. Brian?
I don't know. Disproportionately good-looking guy. Anyway, one of the guys who's sitting behind him, the first time that Laura from Vegansaurus and her best friend Joy saw it, Joy was like, I've cast that guy in, she was doing casting for, I think, Cal Shakes. So Shakespeare. She's like, I've seen that guy audition. And I believe at some point they saw that guy and asked him about it. And he like freaked out. Was like, no. wouldn't talk reaction. About Tommy and like was super weird about it. But it was hilarious because they were like, holy shit, I know that guy.
Oh man.
Tommy's like Kaiser Soze.
I think anybody that ever had any involvement in the room probably went away from it thinking, we shall never speak of this again.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, I mean, there's, you know, when they did all their San Francisco shooting, all like 2 days of it.
Yeah.
They, you know, used some local actors.
That's awesome.
I would really like to find out what Lisa is doing now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's good old Lisa?
Porn. I thought we already determined this.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. But like, man, she was... I don't like to be like, she was ugly or like whatever. She wasn't ugly, but she was like,
she was an unconventional beauty. We'll put it that way.
She was just, it was not very believable when people were like, she's so beautiful.
Wow, you look so sexy, Lisa.
She's so heartbreakingly, like mind-numbingly beautiful.
You're so beautiful.
She's like Helen of Troy.
I know, and I was just kind of like...
Hitting men against each other.
She's not a hideous beast, I mean, of course, but like...
She's hardly a siren either.
She's about Tommy's level.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But to like Maybe. Be able to like seduce anyone she wants.
Yeah.
And get anything
exactly.
she wants.
Exactly. Like,
that's beautiful,
that's why,
psychopath.
Yeah, that's why exactly. his best friend is disproportionately good-looking best friend, because it's like, he is multiple steps above...
Right.
You know, these people that he's involved in this love triangle.
Oh, man.
And he looks like Kenny Loggins.
And the worst thing is, like, I felt really bad because, like, her makeup made her look worse. And then, like, during those sex
scenes, eyeshadow.
There were, like, some really unflattering poses that, like the cameraman just shouldn't, like, that should have not made it into the film. Like, there were a couple where she was kind of, like, half sitting up and she's naked. It's like, nobody looks good.
No, totally. I mean, because she's not, like, super thin.
No, I mean, she's fine.
Which is fine, but when you're going to be naked half the movie, you just probably got to think about your angles a little more.
Exactly. Get my space up on that.
Or the director might want to think about that a little bit
more. Yeah, no kidding.
No. Hey, this is Tommy. We're talking about here.
He's a busy
guy. Her, do you have my ass in the shot?
Right? I know.
I guess maybe they're just counting on everyone's, like,
eyeballs being burned out after his ass hit the screen. Which is why the focus doesn't matter either.
Yeah, exactly. Correct panning technique.
He probably thinks that the nudity made that film edgy, you know.
And arty, probably.
Edgy and arty.
Yeah. That's why the drugs are involved, too. The drug dealer.
The one
street thug who pulls a drug, a gun.
Yeah, that really came out of nowhere. I was really surprised by that whole scene.
Is it starting?
Yes. All right. Okay.
Finish up with Daisy of Love.
Okay, the panel's back to discuss the Daisy of Love season finale, and we're just on a commercial break before the final elimination.
Yeah. So I guess, spoiler alert, 12-pack was sent home.
In the most brutal way possible. Left to die on the tarmac.
On the tarmac with, like...
His final thoughts drowned out by taking off airplane.
Which tears are streaming down his face.
Is it just me, but did that airplane in the back looked a little fake? Yeah.
But oh man, I felt bad for the poor guy.
Yeah.
He was a meathead and he was, you know, but oh, he cried like a little baby.
But I don't know that was necessarily like I kind of like the guy, like, just in terms of reality show dudes.
Right.
He was okay. He was kind of funny and but everything was completely about him, like up until the very end.
So. When he admits that he loves her.
Yes, and then she dumped him right after.
But
of course.
Yeah, it was
never gonna reveal his true feelings to anyone ever again.
But it was, you know, it was like his strategy had to change. I mean,
well, I was gonna say it's his third reality show, right? I mean, it's not. I don't know. I don't know if he liked her or not, but, like, you know, it is his third reality show. Yeah. Like, even if he did really like her, strategy, like he said, he was using a strategy.
So he's never going to reveal his feelings, his deep feelings to anyone on TV maybe ever again, but I don't even believe that.
No, because when he was on I Love Money, he was, like, hooking up with chicks, too. There were, like every reality show he's been on, there's some girl that he's all over. Was he hooking up with Heather?
From Rock of Love?
Heather from Rock of Love.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then she claimed that,
Is that a train?
Yeah, she looks like a man.
He, like, at one point, I don't know, she was like, you're making a fool of me, fuck you, or something weird like that, and they broke it off. And then I think he started hooking up with someone else on the show right after.
On what show, though?
On I Love Money.
Oh, I Love Money. Okay.
So that's the thing. It's like, going into this, bless you.
Thank you.
I was like, he's a fucking douchebag. Like, I watched him on I Love Money. Oh my gosh, you guys. No. Who was that? Antonio Banderas is with crazy ass Melanie Griffith.
What is going on there?
What's that guy's name?
Antonio Zapato Jr.
Okay, I'm like, Antonio someone.
I don't know.
Is he getting his own Of Love show?
Looks like it.
My Antonio. Oh my god.
Oh dear.
I believe the show is back on. Predictions?
Flex.
London.
She's gonna choose Flex.
I've got my own ideas. Who I think is right for Daisy. But of course, ultimately, the decision is completely up to her.
I think Ricky totally likes London better as a person, though.
By far the most intense experience I've ever been through. Daily?
It sure says a lot about your musical career. Pick me.
I'd pick Ricky. Ricky's pretty cool.
That's true. He's bad.
Creepers, yeah. Leopard print.
He's wearing creepers.
Why is he running away? He can't handle it.
It's Daisy's decision.
It's up to Daisy.
But he's not there to offer emotional support.
It's up to Daisy.
Oh, okay.
When I first met you, all I thought that you were
turn on that music.
Hot body, but you have showed me so much more.
Like your penis.
You are truly everything that is right for me.
Great. This is it. All right. Like I'm just it just hits me like I'm going home.
Again.
Yeah.
Gordon. I almost kicked your ass out the first night you were drunk in the closet. I have already had this weird, this crazy, strong attraction to you.
I don't know.
Oh no.
And then
it sounds like whales.
Whales jamming.
And then I totally didn't expect it. You showed up.
Uh oh.
No way.
Time explaining why I'm drawn to you. But I think the biggest reason is because I see a lot of myself in you.
She said, oh, God.
She's like, I see a lot of myself.
You're sitting
there
like, okay.
It really is all about her.
Does it help me make a choice?
Beat me to it.
Flex. You are what I need. But what I want.
Oh, shit.
Is London.
Oh, damn.
Oh!
I'm just like, yeah, alright.
No. She's gonna. Wait.
She's my girlfriend.
What?
I mean, she's awesome.
He's already taken the liberty of eating her face off.
What? Oh no!
Psych!
Oh.
Here,
what is going on?
But you know, I got that sensitive side too. And
ew, his hair is gleaming.
And now she goes,
yeah, his hair's bad right now.
I don't have her. Like, what am I supposed to do now? Where do I go?
Boom.
Back to the gym.
Have the memories of sex to masturbate to.
Listen, here's the thing. I'm not mad. As much as I hate him right now, I have to get over it.
You're 22. You're really fine.
I understand what wants and
he's
needs.
A model.
Yeah.
What you want is what you want.
I know. And I have to follow my heart.
This is a tender
Saved
moment.
By the flex.
She prefers the guy who actually looks good in eyeliner.
I guess she's got way too much makeup on, so it's like
I did everything for her, trying to make her have a great time, would have gave her the world, and, you know, like, obviously she didn't want that. So, if she wants to stick with her ways and not change her ways, then that's, you know, that's her burden.
Hey, would have gave her.
I'll find somebody.
Right. Would have gave. Would have gave. Sorry.
What's his real name? TJ.
TJ. It's
Inge. That's what I thought it was.
You are the flower
I want. God, is he wearing
once
creepers too?
Or once a TV series?
I knew we had this like real connection, you know, but I felt like I messed up so bad. And the only thing I can say, I mean, there's really something there with her and me.
Rockstar.
He is going to fuck the shit out of her. Jesus. You see the way he is kissing her?
She'll pick you next season, Ricky.
However, looking at Daisy in London,
he already had it.
He likes to watch.
He already had it.
Awkward.
You better treat her right.
I'm your Daisy.
You are my rose, you are my rose, you are my rose.
I started warning eyes, and it came under this one guy. And the whole point was to find love. And holy cow, it worked.
Joy.
Yeah, there's all these other shows out there.
And now they've spent 6 months apart without communicating.
They're like wrestling and kissing at the same time.
You know, we're rushing anything. And me and Daisy are trying to plan how I'm going to miss my flight and come to her place tonight. So, no. And you should, and honestly,
get
seriously,
it?
At the end of it all, everyone thinks this stuff is fake. It's not always fake.
It is in your case, buddy.
Well, no, here's the thing. He left the show. Because he thought it was fake.
And
so on his like departure, he was like, I thought it was fake. When he came back, he's like, I realized it wasn't fake, and that's why I came back. The other thing is, okay.
They offered me more money.
I think
right?
The producers called him, because everybody kept leaving.
Yeah, everybody had like meltdowns. You know what's awesome, you guys? All these people, after he left on his mic, just were like, fuck that bitch, blah, blah, blah. And then he was responding, like he wrote like a blog post or something saying like, don't be so hard on her, she's a great gal. And I was like, oh shit. So like
that's because they were
she had already picked him at that point.
Yeah. So what's the deal? Like
he was having now to, like, they indirectly defend.
But now they have to spend girlfriend. Like 6 months apart, and then they get back together.
It's not all. It depends. Okay. So basically, they have to wait for it to air. And then they usually get reunited at the reunion show. But what I've noticed with a lot of these shows now is they're not doing that as much. They're letting them, like, they're coordinating ways for them to see each other. Because it's not usually 6 months. It's, like, 3 months.
Okay. Because it seems, like, months. Really not...
Yeah. Kind a good of a relationship killer. Like, you can't communicate for which, 6 months. All.
Which I guess months. Is probably a good thing if you want to have, like, show after show after show.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's... Yeah, I think it's usually... 3 months, but I know that on whatever the last one was, oh, Real Chance of Love, I think it was, they were like, oh no, we managed to see each other. All so right. I would guess it's the same.
So they've been, you know, fucking like bunnies.
Probably.
For a few months now.
So now there's that deal that if you buy his band CD, he'll call you. Now I really want someone.
Oh, but man.
Isn't it like the first 10 people only, though?
It's like he'll tweet about it every once in a while and be like, I'll call the next 5 people. Or something like that. So now I really want someone to call and be like, so what's the deal with you and Daisy? Really? Like, what's going on? He said, because he said on Twitter, we can have phone sex.
Sweet.
He's like, just buy the CD.
How much does the CD cost?
I don't know.
And how bad is it?
It's cheaper than phone sex. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the cost more than $20. I'm
looking at here. Oh man, yeah, I'll pass. Actually,
I don't. What is the band's name?
The Party Death.
The Party Death.
I think that's what it is.
That
yeah.
is a terrible band name.
Well, hey, I'm just telling you. Oh, don't shoot the messenger.
Melissa, I can't believe you picked that.
I can't believe that would even come out of your mouth.
I know.
God.
Oh my gosh. Did you guys think he was gonna win?
I really didn't know.
Yeah, I really didn't know.
Usually I can predict, but I just didn't even try this time.
No. Yeah, I totally had no idea. I thought it might be 12-pack.
Yeah, and I then thought, yeah. I thought
totally maybe. Not.
I don't remember. What did I... Oh, I think I predicted, like, way early on that it was gonna be 12-pack, so I guess I was wrong.
Well, so who do you think is... Okay... So I made the prediction when Sinister got eliminated. Like somebody on the PPK said something like, "Oh my God, that was so pathetic when he like broke down crying." And I was like, "No way, man!" And when he said, "You know, maybe somebody will love me," I was like, "No, that was like genius. That made me think that the only reason that he ever went on the show in the first place was so that he could have that moment and then have like those thousands of ladies like
consoling
being like,
him.
I'll love you."
Yeah,
I think that
him, like,
guy
consoling them with. Their vagina.
Yeah, like the guy up to his neck in pussy right now. Or my name isn't. But,
I don't know. If his band was actually...
Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh, is that his what you were looking for?
Yeah. If his band was moderately popular, I would think he was already fucking tons of chicks.
I don't know.
Maybe he wanted to upgrade the
he
type
He does have a video on YouTube.
He does.
Of him fucking chicks?
No, just...
See? It happens. I told you guys.
Oh, man.
I didn't think it was going to be Flex. I didn't,
and then
so
I did.
They don't make sense as a couple, really.
Yeah, I didn't really think it was going to be Flex. I thought it was either going to be My Little Pony.
Dave.
London. Or Dave slash.
So what is London's real name?
Joshua.
Yes.
Josh. Okay.
Idge. Oh no, that was Flex.
That was Flex.
Idge.
Please don't give me any more trivia about him because I'm answering them all.
Somebody has a little crush on.
No, I could probably answer questions about all of them. That's the sad
thing. That's true. That's true.
Sometimes it'll be like 3 a.m. I'm like, am I going to go to bed? Oh, I'll just click a few things. And next thing I know, I'm clicking through, bless you, Beamish. I'm clicking through people's like Twitter accounts onto their like VH1 profiles or their MySpace profiles. And you find out the most ridiculous shit about these people because they just put it all out there.
So what about Chi-Chi? What do you know about Chi-Chi?
Same as Brandon.
Okay.
What do I know about him?
Such a baby name.
Yeah. He looks really... He looks really different in his photos on MySpace. It's kind of weird. And, like, him and Sinister have done, like, of course, like, events together where they show up at, like, ridiculous dance clubs and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
Every day that I make Daisy happy was a good day for me.
Oh my god. There's pictures of the two of them in Britannia from Rock of Love.
Oh, the one with the piercings
in her face. Who's going to go to prison for
fighting? Oh, the one that beat up somebody or tried to beat up somebody? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. Didn't she get into it with Heather?
I don't know. I only watched like 20 minutes.
There was a spinning
thing.
Something.
We need Katie Badmouth right now. She knows all this stuff.
Yeah.
She watches it just as much as I do.
I remember that there was some sort of spinning thing. I think I only saw one episode of Rock of Love. Was it the Love Bus? The
Rock of Love Bus, yeah.
Okay, so I only saw like one or two episodes of that, and I think I saw the one where they had the ex-boyfriends in.
Yeah,
and then
she spit at Heather.
Something like that.
Oh, no, she did.
Oh, yes, she did.
But the whole thing with her being on Charm School, she wanted the money so that she could pay off like all her lawyer and court fees because she's about to go to prison for like fighting or something.
Oh. Wow. Sounds worth it, probably.
Yeah. And she's got a son, too, of course.
Totally
so she's
worth
gotta,
it, then.
You know,
yeah.
There's some bitches that just gotta be choked, all right?
The great thing, though, is at the end, when she got kicked off Charm School, she was fully like, what was she saying? She was just like, I really needed that money. But I guess I'm gonna have to hustle and get it some other way. You know, I'm a G. They can't handle that
my
or some
brother.
Crap
oh
like
my
that.
God.
It was really.
I'm living large.
Awesome.
They can't touch me.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Oh, man.
So you're gonna have to like introduce Melissa as the reality show investigative reporter,
the VH1
reality show expert.
I'll admit, I have seen every Of Love show, every single one.
Your cats are killing.
Can you name them all? Can you name all the Love shows?
Oh, yeah. How many are there?
We sat down and did the family tree at work one day.
Oh, okay. So it started out with Flavor of Love. Okay.
No, it didn't.
It didn't?
Because it started out with Surreal Life, where Flavor
and Brigitte Nielsen,
Had
their little, and then they had their own show.
Yes,
because I watched those as well.
Wait, what was their show called?
Oh gosh.
It's like Strange Love.
Strange
or something?
Love or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was.
I never saw it. I just
and then
knew about
she
it.
Had a fiance like the whole time that she was dating Flavor
right,
Flav, Foofy Foof or whatever she called him. And in the end decided to go back to her fiance.
Ouch.
And then that's how he got his show. You're right, I totally forgot about that. So let's see, from Flavor of Love, there was I Love New York.
Right.
I guess I should do like each one and then what
and
came
then
off of that.
So
okay, let's think here.
So Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love,
I Love New York.
Real Chance of Love.
Okay. Not seen that one.
I think that's
Chance was one of the contestants though.
So was Real. Real's his brother.
Oh, Real and Chance.
Yes, they had a show
Chance
together.
Chance was the one that was kind of crazy, right?
Yes.
And flipped his lid a lot.
And he didn't pick someone at the end of his show, but Real did pick someone.
Okay.
It's the same show. And I don't know what happened to the girl that he picked.
Huh.
They probably killed her.
They never found her again.
She was a bubbly Midwest white woman. Like blonde with a little flipped out hairdo.
Oh,
I can't remember what her name was. Okay, and then Rock of Love. So from Rock of Love.
Well, didn't both of them have Charm Schools?
Don't forget A Shot at Love.
Yeah, but that's a different. That's a different network. That's MTV.
Oh.
Tequila, Tequila. I couldn't watch that. Surprisingly, I couldn't watch that. So yeah, Rock of Love. Well, there was
Tequila.
There was Charm School, but Charm School like. One season was just girls from, wasn't it just girls from Flavor of Love?
It was.
And then this season it was ones from all of the different ones.
Okay.
And so there was way more fighting because they all hated each other. I think from Rock of Love there's just been
Daisy
of Love. So what do you think?
Well,
And then Megan Wants a Millionaire is coming up.
Right.
And then there was For the Love of Ray J, which is not related to any of those. That's Ray J, the R&B singer Brandy's brother, who's also an R&B singer.
Okay.
So what do you think the spinoff is going to be from Daisy of Love?
I mean, we thought it was going to be Ladies Love London.
Ladies Love London.
But I mean, unless they break up pretty quick.
Well, I mean, we'll find out next week, right?
Oh, God. Is it going to be Chi Chi and Sinister together?
Oh.
Because they love doing the little duo ones. Like Gangbang of Love? Gangbang of Love.
Well, you have Flex and 12 in an apartment, and they would be like Sinister, and Chi Chi would be like Lenny and Squiddy.
They'll fight over hair gel. Yeah. and bronzer. I kind of think there might be a fox one. I think Fox would be a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of girls would sign up to do that one.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
They'd have to get some new technology together, because you can't improvise lines and you probably can't read off a teleprompter.
I mean, do you think that they would give Dave/12-pack his own show? I mean,
You know what? I think that's entirely possible.
The Entertainer, I think, is getting a show. The one who lives in his parents' basement.
Nice.
Wait, who? Which?
He was on I Love New York. And he had this really crazy looking like knob in the middle of his head, and I didn't know if it was like no one knew if it was like a zit or
could have been a horn.
Horn? Actually, I think you're right. It might have been horn.
He was a unicorn.
He
was filing his unicorn.
So let's see. Megan's getting hers, and I think the Entertainer's getting a show. Real Chance of Love 2 starts on Monday, I think, or next Monday.
Wow.
It's insane. It's like, okay, I want a reality show. What would our reality show be, Erica?
We have a reality show. It's just an auditory experience alone.
But nobody calls us and tries to win our hearts.
Not yet. We're casting now.
Now casting.
Franchelle doesn't listen to this
show. Oh, no. It can be like Paris Hilton has that show to find her BFF.
Yeah.
We should find our next BFF.
All right.
BFF. All right. Paulus and ours. Next BFF.
Yes, next TCH
BFF.
That's it. Well,
I guess I won't TTYL. Bye.
That's
how she kicks them off the show.
Really?
I have not seen that BFF show.
I guess I won't be TTYL.
Oh my gosh.
Paris Hilton is stone cold.
Yeah, that is really cold.
You know she's now claiming that she doesn't want people to think she's really like that, and it is a character she created to make money.
Yeah, just like Borat. I could see. Yeah.
She's really talented, that one.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an excellent parody of our completely soulless culture.
So, I mean, this character has been going on for, like, a decade now?
It's basically, like, really extreme method acting.
Wait, how old is Paris? Really. She's, what, 24? So this character has been going on for 24 years.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. She was older than that.
So should we wrap it up? I think we should wrap it up. Over an hour?
Yes, we are.
I don't want to edit too much because...
You're probably going to have to edit out a bunch of crap anyway.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for bearing with us.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week.
Yes. On our search for our new BFF.
Write us and tell us what you liked about Daisy of Love or if you want to be our new BFF.
Yeah. And suggestions for your peppy nickname are welcome, although not necessarily binding.
Right.
Okay. Goodbye.